Let's open our Bibles. Praise be to God. And I hope they're always open and out and ready to... Well, I'll tell you, it's all the strength, all the need is met right here in the Word of God. But as we open our Bibles to James, we're going back and we begin tonight kind of the exciting conclusion. And can you imagine somebody saying, James, exciting? Well, I hope we've found it exciting. This is a book that is full of faith and full of promise, and we're so thankful that all of the Word of God is profitable to us, and thanking the Lord how He grows us up into all things in Christ if we'll let Him do it. But in this conclusion of the Word of God in James, some have asked and said, boy, it seems to really kind of change course here in the last chapter. Seems like it's been talking about faith and talking about faith. And, you know, it's very precious how, you know, talks about allowing our tongues and our minds and everything to be given over to the Lord. And there in the fourth chapter, it talks about submitting and humbling ourselves before the Lord. And and praise God how it says finally in that fourth chapter, you know what, we don't know what's on the morrow. Our life is but a vapor. And what James is getting us ready, or I should say the Holy Spirit is what it says there, you know, if the Lord will. And we don't know what the Lord's going to will, but the one thing we do know the Lord is willing is to be ready, is to look for me, to love my appearing. And that's really what this last chapter comes in and concludes so sweetly to us, and especially to us, because it speaks, brothers and sisters, of the time that we are living in, the coming of the Lord time. And in this final third chapter, or in this sixth chapter, we will see, or I should say fifth chapter, let's get it right here, there's no more than five, but in this fifth chapter, there are three distinct parts. And the first part is in verses 1 through 6. And the warning goes out to the rich. And then in verses 7 through 13, it speaks of the coming of the Lord. And then finally, in verses 14 through 20, it's going to speak of divine healing. And what's so wonderful is when we see all of these things placed together, it's the glorious encouragement once again that Jesus Christ is coming. And the moment that He is coming, we don't know, but we know that we're living in a time that He is coming. And as I mentioned those three parts of this section, you think about the times that we live in. There is incredible wealth. There are people, and I'm talking Christians as well too, that have amazing wealth. You think of how many billionaires there are today. It's a time where there are people that have amazing bank accounts. Secondly, speaking of the coming of the Lord, you hear it a lot lately, whether it's in the Christian community about, well, the Lord, is He going to return? Is He going to return? Oh, my goodness. But when is He going to return? Praise the Lord. But then we also hear much on TV, the ones that really want to mock, or maybe the ones that just want to be cerebral about it. And you hear of all the shows on prophecy and all that. Could this be the end times? There's a lot of talk. Could the return of Christ be upon us? Amen. And then finally, as this wonderful chapter brings out, divine healing. And brothers and sisters, there is a divine healing that is going on. And a precious divine healing is going on to all those who will take it. A healing that is so complete that they who will receive it are going to be known and are known today as the full overcomers in Christ. You have to be healed, brothers and sisters, to really run the race. We're talking a healing from ourselves, and understand that Christ in me is what it's about. Christ in me is the hope of glory. I pray. I've been talking to so many people lately that are down upon themselves, brothers and sisters. Pray for people. Pray for God's precious people. See, the devil wants to attack like that. He wants to get you down. He wants to get you to think that you're absolutely nothing. And all I've been praying often today is, Lord, help us to love Christ in me. Help me to love Christ in me. Help me to rejoice of who I am in Christ Jesus. And what victory comes from that, brothers and sisters? But at this time, we know that the Word tells us that He is preparing those who are looking and loving His appearing to meet Him in the air. And even preparing those, brothers and sisters, that will go into the tribulation, and even preparing those that will be the earth dwellers in the kingdom time. And in this chapter 5, maybe it is best wrapped up and best said in verse 7. And in verse 7, let's go ahead and read that together. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." See, we get a little anxious about things, don't we? We always want to do. I think about how the world says, act up, act out. You know, oh, we got to be moving. The Bible says over and over, be still. And here it is. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. See, isn't that precious about our Lord? You talk about a patient Lord. He waits, and He's waiting. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Isn't that wonderful? Not only does He wait, He's got long patience. I don't know about you, but I know He's got long patience with me. I know how ornery and how hard-headed I can be, but I know that God has wondrous patience with me. Until He receive the early and the latter rain. And that word rain means to saturate. It means to wash. And I pray, we'll, if the Lord tarry, next time we get together on this, we'll rejoice that this saturating and wash truly is the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. But what I'm getting at here is I think it's best summed up in this early and latter rain, the coming of the Lord. Now this is a term, and I want to address this before we really go back and start into this chapter. This is a term, this early and latter rain, that we hear often, but truly so few really understand. And I'd like to begin going back to Joel chapter 2, and we'll read verses 28 and 29. So in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, this precious prophet is speaking of what is coming to pass. Well, this is in around 800 BC, they think. So basically in about 800 or 830 so years. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." See, when you're led and guided into all truth, if you allow it to happen, let me tell you something, you'll see a vision. "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit." And brothers and sisters, you see that marvelous early rain, the early rain, occurred at Pentecost. Thanks be to God, that began to be poured out. The fire, praise His name, came down from heaven. And it saturated everybody that was in that upper room, didn't it? There was evidence, there was manifestation, there was power. The upper room was dripping with the Holy Ghost. However, it wasn't very many years after that that there sure was a falling away, wasn't there? It grew cold mighty quick. Even as Brother Paul came to Timothy, said, "Timothy, stir up the gift that you received when I laid my hands upon you, son." Do you see even in our own lives how quickly that flame can dwindle down? And matter of fact, it can even go out. Brothers and sisters, it's all about love. Hear the voice of your lover. And here's the voice of your lover. It's the Word of God. And when we grow cold to it, may we get on our knees and call out and say, "Lord, let my heart burn. Let my heart burn for the words of love. Help me And let me tell you something, he's ever present to help you with that. There's nothing more that he wants than to see you respond. And you're going to respond one way by grace, and that's in faith. Because often we're not going to feel a thing, we're not going to see a thing. But the one thing is that you know this lover is true. And his words, he cannot lie. And this was written, let me tell you something, to you. Know it. Take it for yourself. As you read these words, and I was so thankful again to... I had the privilege to stay a little bit with my mom. She stayed with us up at camp. And she can't hear real well, but I could hear her. She didn't want to disturb anybody as she would get up in the morning. So she'd go over in the bathroom, turn the fan on, and she didn't realize how loud she'd talk. But she was reading the Word of God to herself out loud so she could hear the words of life, hear the words of her lover. Praise be to God. I appreciate she read to me. But, brothers and sisters, in that time, it wasn't very long after that early rain, it faded. It was gone. And matter of fact, there was almost like a dark age that really occurred for centuries. We don't really hear much about the infilling of the Holy Spirit after right around 100 A.D. We don't hear about it again until the early 1900s. I'm talking about being poured out. Now, we know the Word of God tells us in every kindred, tongue, and nation that bride is going to come forth. But I'm going to tell you that the Word of God tells us that it is the early and the latter rain. And praise the Lord that as we rejoiced on Sunday in the early 1900s, as on that street of Azusa or in the hills of Kentucky. And there were many places throughout the world that the Spirit came and it hit heavy. And people were rejoicing in tongues of men and angels. As we said, by God's grace, prayer meetings, can you imagine, that went on for days. Healing so mighty. See, you need power to believe the Word of God. I mean, really to go on. That's what that Holy Ghost is there for. Do not ignore that in your life. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a continually overflowing fullness of the Holy Ghost that'll draw you into the Word of God and will have you going on and making melody in your heart to God. And thanks be to God, he saw that it was time for that latter rain to occur. And so he poured that out. But as we heard on Sunday, we know that that is fading away as well. People don't want it. They mock it. Isn't that something? You believe in that stuff? That one politician, she came out as a Pentecostal, and soon that was just completely covered up. Don't talk about that, honey. They'll destroy you. They'll tell you you're crazy. Let me tell you something. The greatest compliment that you could ever have in your life is for somebody to label you that you're crazy for Jesus. It's the truth. And I'm not talking about some outward, blatant way that, you know, we're running around the mall with a box and a Bible. God help them. But I'm talking about where, you mean you really go to Bible study? You really enjoy going to like a prayer meeting? I remember until people really got that down, they'd say, man, what did you do? How many times do you have to go down there and confess? And I thought, you know, I love to confess I love the Lord over and over. How about you? Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus, help them. But what's been so sweet in meditating upon this, about these two rains, brothers and sisters, is that early rain when it fell, there were many, and it was precious, how many were filled with the Holy Spirit. And praise be to God, they were encouraged. But it really was a couple years later that the Lord had a chosen vessel, Brother Paul, the apostle to the church, who by God's grace was encouraged to lay hold of it and to go on and to not be afraid, but to move in faith into, yea, the deep things of Christ. You see, by God's grace, he was the chosen vessel, but Paul still had to apprehend the grace of God to submit and to yield to the Lord to receive it. Know that. He was enabled, but a willing vessel. Amen. Know it. So I'm thankful to stand here and to rejoice in the work of grace in that dear brother. How a little while after that early rain fell, there came Brother Paul. And here we go into the latter rain. And it fell. And so many years later, I believe there was an apostle to the United States by the name of Brother Copley. And I really do believe that. I'm thankful to God to be encouraged that the Lord saw fit to use who he would to bring forth this wondrous message. Now, I know there were others, don't get me wrong, but so mightily that dear brother was used. And I can give you a precious testimony, not just in the United States, but with the internet and the ministry and how it's been going out. And some of the brothers know, but then as well, I get emails personally from all over the world. And I'm talking, a lot of them are just, well, appreciated the site and all this, but I'm talking about ones that say, I've known this message and I never knew there was a church that was preaching it. I didn't know of this. I didn't know of that. And as I get to visiting with them, without exception, I'm going to tell you this, that I've met, it all ties back somehow to Brother Copley and that grace and glory. And that's the truth. So I'm thankful for that. I'm not praising a man. I'm not praising the grace and glory. I'm praising God. I don't praise Paul. I don't worship Paul. But I thank the Lord for that dear vessel. How about you? I thank the Lord for dear Sister Bodie. I thank the Lord for Brother Hill. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Because I know that God richly supplies through the saints. I understand that the Word of God tells me that the benefit to our lives is the ministering of the saints. Can you imagine that? Praise his name, how he does these things. So I thank God that that latter rain fell. And I thank God that we live in this precious time. And I thank God, as verse 7 tells us here, the fruit is about ripe. The fruit is about ripe. The harvest is about to take forth. And the rain has fallen. And the truth is being cherished by some. And they are being ready to be taken up, praise God, into the bin. And that moment is about on us. And as I've said many times here lately, the moment of the time shall be no more is about on us. The moment that is quickly passing for the bride to come forth, for the wife to be ready, is about over. That's the heaviness on my heart. I know that God will be faithful. I know that the Word of God says that he will finish the good work which he's begun. But I also know the Scripture, and it tells me that he's coming soon. And may we be ready. Oh, by God's grace, may we be ready. All right, now with that, let's go back and read verses 1 through 6, and I believe the Lord has us ready to begin. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped together, treasure together for the last days. Behold the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That means the Lord of hosts. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just and he doth not resist you. Now, we'll stop there. And the word in verse 3, I want to point this out, where it says for the last days. If you have a Scofield, translated, it means in the last days. We're in it. And brothers and sisters, I hope we know this. And in this scripture, it's crying out to us what we've known for many, many years throughout the Word of God, is that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. It's not the money. It's not necessarily the people. But it's those people that are in love with the money that is the root of all evil. And this is what's coming forth here. And it comes forth whether it's in the sinner or whether it's in the saint. And with this love of money, I've testified many times before, the love of money is no respecter of person. The love of money is no respecter of person. It is in the rich just as much as it is in the poor. And the love of it, whether you have much of it or you don't have any of it, is still going to be the root of all evil. And God has brought this out, and he's bringing this out in these end times. And often the case about money is once people make it, and especially what it's talking about here, their hearts are drawn to it, if you'll go that way. See, there's a seduction in money. I saw it in the business world. I know it. I'm thankful to God I read it and believe it in his word, and I'm aware of it. See, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, brothers and sisters. He's a serpent. He's there. He's whispering all the time. Just like in that, I think that old Jungle Book, as that snake used to come down the tree and try to tangle up those different ones. But that enemy, he's on the job, and we need to know it. But you'll know that when our hearts are drawn away, the seduction often can become overwhelming. And as we've read in James, when lust conceives, there's sin. And the sin here is the love of money. It becomes the love of power. It can become the love of material things. And brothers and sisters, it eventually will consume the whole house. It'll take you down. When you are after things in your life, whether it's houses or jobs or whatever it may be, you can really tie that back to the love of money, because it's the thing about the money. And it is. And it's amazing what people will do. It's amazing how they will act. They will be more protective and more crazy about their money than they are their own health. About their money than their own children. About their heritage, their lands. Oh my, we're getting personal now. No, it's the same thing. It's things. It's things that have us, that we think, and again, that's just the lie, that we think define us. As God has been impressing upon our hearts, we ain't from here. Matter of fact, my citizenship isn't here, the Word of God tells me. If I'm going to live who I really am, my citizenship is now in heaven. Now are we the sons of God. I am seated in the heavens in Christ. Now who am I going to believe? By God's grace, I'm going to believe his word. And thanks be to God that there's such a settling in that. There's such a peace in knowing where I am and what this is all about. But the epitome of this, and we have a little bit of time, let's go over to Revelation 18. So those that are kind of thinking, well, you know, I'm going to hold out for the end, and I'm going to try to keep my foot in the business world, and then I'm going to put my foot in this. And well, I'll tell you what, you've got your foot in something, and you better watch it by God's grace and let him take it. But in chapter 18 in Revelation, we're talking about when, you know, God, you know, the judgment is going to be poured forth. And this city Babylon that's going to be on them hills where all the merchants come and all the trade is, you know. A lot of people say Rome, some say New York. You know, I really don't care in a sense where it is. I just know that the Bible says it's going to be. And I know that that's where everybody's heart, in a sense, at this time is going to have their, basically, their affections set. I'm talking about the worldly ones. It's going to have complete control over them. They're going to have a number, and you're going to have a number, or you're not going to be able to come in, and it's going to be printed upon your head or your hand or somewhere. And God is going to say, and he's going to let that over to Satan to do, you're not going to be able to buy food. You're not going to be able to trade. You're not going to be able to do anything without the mark, and that's the mark of the beast. Now, let me tell you something. By God's grace, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to even remotely be here one moment. See, there's a lot of fringe benefits about being in the Bride of Christ. You don't realize that, but there are. And that's one of them. By God's grace, that stuff starts breaking forth in its full force after she is taken out of the way. You don't realize what he's preventing his love from experiencing. Now, she's going through joint sufferings with him. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like nobody really knows. Praise God. We are bringing, he's bringing us into that fellowship with him. But we're going to be spared by God's grace if we apprehend that which we've been apprehended by. So know that. Know that he's calling us out for that. But in chapter 18, and we'll just read through a few of the verses here. We'll go ahead from verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. Now jump with me down to verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now see, the Lord has shown us great grace. We're not there yet. But look at how quickly the demise of our economy, in a sense, happened. I mean, it was just like that. You know, here we go, here we go, here. Whoa, what happened? Nobody has a job. Huh? What are we going to do? See, God is so merciful and so gracious. He's showing us types and he's showing us signs all the time. My word is true. You best pay attention. Love me. Love me. And see, this isn't a God that's demanding it in a sense and forcing anything here. He wants you out of the heart that he's given you to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I love you. I see what's going on here. And brothers and sisters, God help us to be in the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened with this. It's so wonderful. And it says there in verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. It's gone. It's gone that quickly. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, vessels of the most precious wood, and of brass, iron, and marble. Goes on to talk more about that. And the merchants in verse 15, the merchants of all these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Isn't that something? They're not weeping and wailing other souls. They're not weeping and wailing of anything else. My money. My money. It's sad. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Boy, there's a lot in that, isn't there? For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships, the sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping, wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. That 1 hour keeps coming back and back and back, doesn't it? Just a little short time. So what's it going to be? Are we laying up for forever? Or are we laying up for our 1 hour? You see what I'm saying? One life soon be passed, only that done for Christ will last. Praise His name. And it's the truth. And it's a privilege. Again, this isn't something that, well, I'm going to do this. I'm doing this out of duty. No, you love and you're thankful for this. Praise God that His grace found you and apprehended you. And I pray by God's grace that we really see, brothers and sisters, the times that we're in. Mentioned it a little bit, but this world economy, it's broke. It's broke. I didn't need to go to college and get graduate degrees in finance to understand that it's over. This is well, I don't want to get into it too much, but you know, when you hear the interest on your debt is $1 trillion a year, what does that even mean? Except one thing, we're done. It's over. And as Brother Hill used to say so many times, is the clock has run down. Not only can they not find the key, there is no key. It's done. Now, I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm preaching by God's grace, know the Word of God for yourself. I'm saying, praise the Lord. The Lord's been awful good to me. I'm so thankful for all the things that He's allowed me to do and enjoy in my life. But you know what? My time hadn't come yet. My time, in a sense, my day with Him hadn't even begun. Hallelujah. And I'm just grateful in the Lord that we know these things. I don't know how much pressing's going to come, brothers and sisters. I don't know what we're going to have to endure. But I know He said, endure the hardness. As a good soldier. But I know that His grace will give me all sufficiency always in everything, so that we will superabound to every good work that He puts before us. Amen? Amen. How could we not be but positive in Christ Jesus? We are more than conquerors through Him. Amen? Amen. Quit looking down here at things and start looking up there at everything. And the only thing, by God's grace, to set our affections on things above. He's encouraging me too. Oftentimes, you'll find yourself, and it is self, groveling, moaning. And I found one thing. I never moan like this. It's always like this. And like this, I can't see the heavenly. Look up. Oh, look up. Oh, my. I guess they're not going to let me run for office. But hearts with affection set on the things of this earth, we know it, are never satisfied. I'm thankful I'm looking at some wonderful runners here, and that's all by the grace of God. But you all know by His grace that there's been times in your life, and maybe you're battling now, I don't know, where you've tried to satisfy your life with things of this earth. I'm in the front of the line. I know this. And even trying to put it off in a godly way. Well, this will be a more convenient way for me to serve the Lord. Yeah. You know, I'm going to go over here to all of these places. I'm not going to Nineveh yet, Lord. I got to go over here. And, you know, it just don't work. But not only are we not satisfied, more precisely, we're being robbed. And that's the thing that's not, that's the serious part about it, is we're being robbed. The riches of this earth, the riches of our self, the Bible calls wood, hay, and stubble. And it tells us right here again that it's eaten. The moths will eat it, the thieves will steal it, and the rust will make it rot. And when we are led and controlled by the love of money, as it says in our text here, our garments are moth-eaten. And brothers and sisters, may we always be reminded what we are in pursuit of. We're in pursuit of fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of saints. Wow. Praise God. See, that's the garment that we desire. That's the garment that He wants for us. As Brother Hill, he always, and I always appreciated that about him. He did get me to like nice clothes, and he sure did dress sharp. Those who didn't know him, he could wear a suit. And he had them in all these different colors. He had a beautiful white suit. I'd like to maybe have a white suit someday, but I was thinking, nah, I couldn't wear it like that. So he gave me that tan kind of light green one that I wear once in a while, and I like that one too. But he'd always say, you know, you buy those good clothes, son. He said, they'll last. And they don't wear out. It's amazing if you buy good clothes. And it was amazing to me too, because that little tan green suit that I wear, I've had it now about 25 years, and often when I wear it, people say, well, where'd you get that new suit? Them's good clothes. Now, how much more are forever? Covet that, want it, desire it, brothers and sisters. It's what God has for us. There's a little practical application always in the Word of God, and He's led me and encouraged me to talk a little bit about it in this text that we have tonight. Now, this has nothing to do with laying up in the natural savings. And I do want to speak about this a little bit. It's on my heart. The Bible gives us such a sweet practical illustration, not just in this, but throughout the Word of God, about the storehouse. I'm talking about in the natural. The ant, there in Proverbs, who lays up for the summer, or even, as the Word of God tells us, to lay up for our children's children. Can you imagine that? Now, most of us don't even lay up for ourselves. A lot of us say, kids, I'm sorry. But the Bible has encouraged us many, many years ago, lay up for your children's children. Now, we know most importantly in the epitome what that is talking about is the Word of God. Sow it, plant it. But brothers and sisters, there's an application in that as well for us too, and it's called savings. And I believe that is one part of the good steward, in a sense, naturally speaking, as the Lord talks about these things, is to honor Him in that. See, we've let the world get in and take us away so quickly into things. And now we go back to the wants and the material things. Now, God will put up whom He will and down whom He will. We have precious Job, such a treasure. The Lord just took it. But the Lord just took it. Do you see the difference? It wasn't, in a sense, because of foolishness or wantonness or anything of that nature. God divinely said, I'm going to show forth my faithfulness in that brother and show that I'm going to take away, and he's still going to praise me. He won't curse me because I know the heart that is in that dear vessel. All right? Now, I pray that we take this. But lesson 101 is savings. And I want to encourage people that the Word of God does preach this, and I don't touch on these things too often, but often saints, and not just people in a sense, sinners, but saints, are overtaken in this world by the world's call, whether it's credit cards or loans or do this or go this way. I'm not trying to get you to feel bad about yourself. We've all been there. We've all made these different decisions in our life. But what I'm getting at here is that the enemy always wants us to live beyond our means. He does. And see, what the world has come at us and told us is that living beyond your means means spending more than you have. That's not what living beyond your means is. Living beyond your means is not being able to save, to lay up. For that time, God wants us to. I think about our country, about the governments of this world. Do you know that they spend every dime that they get in? They don't save. That's why there's the problem that we have. And not just the only, but that's what happens. Even churches, They say that they're trusting the Lord, and I forget the term that they use, but they just basically say, well, we're going to spend every dollar that we get in, and we're going to trust God for next year. By God's grace, I'm trusting God for next year if He gives us next year. But I'm trusting God in His Word that He tells us to lay it up. And I'm trusting God as He showed Brother Joseph, when I give you 7 years of fat, son, you feed, but you lay it up. Know these things, brothers and sisters. Receive this. This isn't just the guy on TV or what and all that's giving you these things. And that's not what this is intended. But this is intended by God's grace to receive the Word of God. In all of the practical application, most importantly the spiritual. But the Lord help us and encourage us this way. So I don't know how many phone calls I might get after this one. But I do mean it in love. And I do believe oftentimes we make things a lot harder for ourselves than they really needed to be. But overriding all of it is Romans 8:28. Amen? 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 And we know. And we know. Okay? But just take that to heart. I pray the Lord encourage you with it. As my old daddy used to tell me, son, always live within your means. And as you make more money, live more within your means. And as you make even more money, live even more within your means. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we'll finish this up. The intention of these six verses is again to call out the abuses that go on with the rich. And how the rich, when they're not led of the Lord, when God is not their head, they abuse others. And we see that very common. But God help us to really get over all of these things about money. And the way He really did it for me, and I'm so thankful, is when He finally allowed me to receive the grace to understand that, Lord, it's all yours. Everything I got's yours. Thanks be to God that you gave me some motivation, but I understand that the motivation was yours. Thank you that you gave me opportunity, but the opportunity was yours. I told you about, there was a brother that was kind of getting down on me a little bit. And said, oh, you were, you know, you had everything given to you and blah, blah, and all this kind of stuff. And man, it used to make me so mad. And I said, you didn't realize how hard I worked and, you know, all that schooling I did and all the hours that I worked and all of these things. And man, I'll tell you, the Lord just stopped me one day and said, oh, you did it, did you now? Man, did I hit the, I just hit the floor, my face on it. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I really, I did. Lord stopped me, but I thought maybe it was my self-righteousness again. I was going to write that brother a letter. You're right. I was just born with a golden spoon in my mouth. The Lord put it there. From day one, praise His name. All right. So let's quit having our pity parties, huh? But God help us to be good masters, if the Lord put us in that place, that we would compensate people fairly, treating our employees or those that we work with fairly and with respect. But understand this, brothers and sisters. Again, it's not the money. Joseph was increased. Abraham was wealthy. Job was given back a double portion. We know this. And many throughout the Bible had great wealth. And yet they still, by God's grace, put Him first. Amen? Amen. Praise His name. This isn't what it is based upon, our bank account. It's based upon what is the treasure in our hearts. What is our life invested in? What is important to us? Is it the things of the world or is it the heavenly? And truly for this meeting is our love and our passion. Do we pant as Brother David for the Word of God? Do we pant for the face of Jesus Christ? Or really are we still caught up into building bigger barns? See, the Lord's helping us with that, isn't He? Yeah, He is. He's showing us how broke this old world really is. We were just teetering there. I don't know how long He's going to let us teeter. climbing that ladder still? God help us. If you just look into the face of Jesus, you don't need to be climbing because you're flying. That's the truth. But I'll close it with this. To the brothers, especially, and now anymore, even to the sisters, because they're getting quite apt in the job market. Your manliness is not predicated upon how much money you make. Your manliness is not on how many people work for you or how many titles you have after your name. Your life is not defined by your job, but rather by the Word of God. And what I do, and I appreciated when the Lord hit me with this, what I do in this world is just a byproduct of the will of God in my life. Anything I do, it's just a byproduct of the will of God. Sure, it's important, but the importance is the will of God. Trusting Him. He'll place me in the body. He'll place me in the workforce. He'll place me where I need to be. But in whatever and wherever He places me, by God's grace, may I always do it heartily and may I always do it to the glory of the Lord. We're almost home. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We're almost home. He told us to endure, didn't He? As He said to those precious, precious brothers, He says, tarry just a little while longer. Because all the riches of this world, they're not even worthy to be mentioned with the wealth. They're not even worthy to be mentioned with the glory that shall be revealed. Listen to those words. Not might, not a maybe, that shall be revealed. And I'm going to tell you this. You think about the doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You think about the palm wavers. That wealth right there, the world doesn't even remotely understand. But can you fathom the wealth of His wife? In Scripture, the only, I shouldn't say the only, but maybe the best one. And yes, I sing it over and over. Is with that precious king and sweet Esther. And all he could say to her was, honey, it's all yours. It's all ours. All right? Them's the riches I want. How about you? Go rejoice in them tonight, really. Allow that rain to saturate you. Go out, and I was in the East Coast, and man, was it hot. I never enjoyed rain so much. It was a warm rain, but I'll tell you what, when you're at 100 and 100, anything wet that hits you, you're happy for. Because you're thinking, thank God that didn't evaporate, because I'm about to. But I really got to thinking as I was out there, Lord, and as I read this, let it rain on me. Let me be still and let it just rain on me. Amen. Well, let's stand and be dismissed, thanking Him. Praise His precious name.